Good morning, good morning. This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
Good morning, K2PCB. This is KE2TDQ. How are you?
This is just a run-of-the-mill Tuesday morning. Nothing too exciting today. It is Tuesday, right? Yep, so yeah, even had to check. And Lynn's got some running around to do today, and she was up before me. And, yeah, so she's going to be on the move in a few minutes. And, yeah, all in all, so far a nice day. Yeah, how are things with you this morning?
Not too bad. Woke up a little bit earlier than I had wanted to. But I went to bed later last night, so I'm a little bit tired today. But, you know, because of the situation I'm in, I can remedy that pretty easily whenever I want to. So might do that. Yeah, hopefully today's going to be a decent day. There's some things I want to get done today that I wasn't able to yesterday.
Unfortunately, my hobby-type plans haven't been moving forward too much lately. We've been either busy on the weekends or, I don't want to say just not feeling up to it, but in some cases just not feeling up to it. It is what it is, running around. Today is the funeral of Glenn Hansard. I don't know if he talked about that, but that's obviously somebody that's the Irish folk rock singer that Lynn and I have been following for a while. And she's a little disappointed because I want to say it's St. Andrew's Cathedral. I think I could have the venue wrong, but they're supposed to be streaming it live today online for the service, and Lynn will be gone for her appointment today. And she was asking me, you know, oh, can we record that somehow? And these days that should be an easy thing to do, but it's streaming on a specific website, and yeah, we just don't have those technologies readily available for all of us today. I'm sure some people can. But yeah, something streaming online, it's sort of live and gone like old TV. You don't turn on the VCR and just record it.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that. I know if it's on YouTube or something, I don't know if you could, I'm just trying to think, can you record something off YouTube? Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a good point. It could be harder to capture something like that.
There are HDMI interfaces that you can put in line with your TV and record from. Those are few and far between, and if it's, you know, YouTube, normally you have to go through like a third-party site that handles that. Basically, they put in a request from the server to play it and keep skipping along, and I think it just downloads all the content. But, it's a different world. Not that we necessarily need to record it to see it, but she would like to. So maybe when I get home, I'll poke around and see if anybody has captured that.
Yeah, that was my thought, someone has captured it somehow and posted it either to YouTube or, I think TikTok wouldn't have something that long, but there's got to be a site out there that has that recorded. That wouldn't surprise me at all if it was out there.
Reminds me of, like, when Queen Elizabeth passed and, you know, they were just streaming, you know, different outdoor, you know, view, indoor view, all these interviews. It was just going on for a long time. Every ceremonial portion of the funeral was captured on video, and I know Lynn was was glued to the TV streaming that. But that was also on more channels, too. I think she probably could actually watch that. But anyway, on a different topic, I guess. Ross was mentioning that you might have some connectors for you to try out for your new coax.
Yeah, he mentioned that yesterday. I cut off a couple inches of the coax last night. Got it sitting here on my desk. I'm gonna measure it up here in a second. But I gotta say, it's got to be close to 250 thousandths in diameter. And it's not real flexible. But the center conductor is stranded, which I kind of like.
250, that's not as thick as I thought it was. The way you were talking about it, I thought you were getting yourself into something that was closer to, you know, 3/8, if not more, closer to half inch. I don't think I bought any 213. Everything I had was 58/8 or LMR 400, I believe.
I've seen some things with LMR 400, and it seems really thick. I just measured this. It's almost 400 thousandths thick. It's got a really thick outer jacket. The dielectric in there is pretty thick. So, yeah, this is going to be some different cable to run.
Well, that's cool. I assume that this is... maybe talk about that thick jacket on there, something that is UV resistant?
It may be. I have to go back to, I think I bought it off Amazon, and look at all the specifications. But I'm pretty sure it is. I almost want to say that it was direct burial. I'll have to go back and look.
Okay. So it probably is then. Obviously, it's meant to be outdoors, in the cold, the ground, wet ground. Nice thick jacket to hopefully, you know, protect it from any, you know, scratching on the insulation. So, yeah, that's cool. And I assume it has a bend radius that'll work for your install.
Yeah, it should. I don't have, there's only, well, if I use it outside, there is one sharp, probably a 90 degree bend that would be the worst, and that would only be one 90 degree bend. So once I was past that, and there's probably a way that I could work around that, that would be either both for the outside antenna and for the attic antenna. I think that's what I'm envisioning right now. But you never know until you run it, right?
True. You might realize there's a better path as you're running it around, 100%. Just like we were talking about yesterday, you know, like Glenn says, why do you always need to change things? Well, in my head, it's better. So, all right, I'll pause here and see if anyone else is joining us this morning. This is K2PCB.
KC2NVM, good morning, gentlemen.
KC2PT, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you? Did you see the email from the club about the technicians class?
I did. I even forwarded that email to Matt Bueller. He had expressed an interest in the upcoming exam or classes. So he and a buddy want to do that, so I forwarded that out. So, yeah, I did see it.
Oh, I had forgotten about Matt Bueller. I did forward it to Jose, because I know that he was interested in the last one. So we'll see if he's interested in this one.
If Jose was to get into this class and doom scroll any of the test preps, any time he's not working or driving, just doom scroll with the test, you might actually have a better shot.
I would agree. Having been through it once already, not that long ago, to go through it again and take some of the quizzes like on Travis's website, I think he'd be all right.
Brad or Jeff, would you guys mind forwarding that to me? I wouldn't mind forwarding that to Larry.
Sure. I have it on my work email, so I could forward that to you without issue.
Thank you.
So yesterday, I emailed my professor, like, hey, one of these questions here, the answer looks a lot like what I gave. Can you explain to me what I possibly did wrong? And he comes back with, oh, you just put an extra point in. I gave you full credit, and I even found you some credit on question number 12, where the answer was 333, and I put 334. So I got like 2 points out of five for that, so I ended up with a 93 for that exam as opposed to an 86. So I thought that was pretty good.
I wonder if he's actually even looking at the test, or is he relying on your input into the computer to do the, you know, scoring for him?
Yeah, that is one of life's mysteries. I think this guy, he seems like he'd be the type that would kind of go through your chest to figure out what you did wrong, but or unless maybe he doesn't until you ask, hey, what did I do here? Either way. And either way is probably the simplest of all.
It sounds like this guy's a little more flexible than that last one you had. You know, it seemed a little more rigid.
I think he's more proactive, to where the Linux guy seemed to be more, you missed it and you're done. Like lazy, if that could be a word to describe a professor who just there barely interacts but collects the paycheck.
I know it's only 6:43, but I'm going to sign with you guys. I'm going to head on in here. I'll say good morning to you two. Say good morning to Ross if he's out there. This is KTPCB. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay, somebody's queued up, and that one is not me, I don't think.
Ghost? What was that all about?
I don't know. I was doing that the same, it sounds like the same thing when you're on DV Switch.
What DV Switch here today?
Sorry, I'll let you get in there. KD2JDQ, KD2KDT.
KC2PET, this is KE2GDQ. How are you on this Tuesday morning?
I'm tired this morning. About 3 o'clock last night, we had a house fire with Mary Ann. So I'm pretty tired today.
I can understand that. You just reminded me, when I worked at Motorola, there was a guy that I used to work with. He was a member of a fire department, and I remember him coming in saying that, you know, he worked a fire through the night and how tired he was. I bet you guys are, but I appreciate all that you and all the other volunteers do, because most of the firefighting people in the country are volunteers, as far as I know.
Yeah, for the most part. The volunteers, that way the paid. I think the paid's only going to work in big cities. I think they're the only ones that can handle the cost of running a fire department. It's not cheap. It's amazing that all the volunteers can keep it going. I think that's pretty impressive in itself. especially the price of things too. I know something's got to give with that. I know, they're going to have some type of, either, I know there's, were some things that were brought up about the cost of a fire truck now, you know, how much of it is actually inflation on the actual manufacturing company. I still say, so a fire truck is about $1 million. And there is no way that a fire truck can cost $1 million when it used to only cost, let's say, $250,000, $300,000. That's a big increase in over a couple of years.
That it is, Ross. It makes you wonder. I know that firefighting equipment is kind of specific. Are they, I won't say gouging, but are they increasing their profit margins because they know that, you know, fire companies need to keep upgrading on a regular basis? I don't know.
Well, from what I can stand, I think there's R.D. Murray, Rosenbauer, KME, and Pierce. Those are the four that, off the top of my head, I think those are the only manufacturers of fire trucks. And of course, they don't make the truck fully. Pretty much they make the box on the back. You can usually get your choice of, I guess, Freightliner or like a Mack. I guess whatever you want to pick for, you know, the actual engine and the cab and everything, you pick that. They don't make that. That comes from one of the manufacturers of, like, trucks and stuff. And then actually their cost is putting the lights on, you know, the pump and all that stuff in the back. But, still, I can 100% say it does not cost $1 million to make a fire truck.
Yeah. I know the very specialized ones, probably some of the ones that they use in, like, New York City that have those extension ladders and stuff, that makes sense. It would cost $1 million. Olean, when we lived in Olean, now that was a small city. It had a smaller population than the village of Lancaster, and they had a professional fire department.
Yeah, and there's also apartments closing just financially. They can't keep up. It costs too much to run a fire department. Small towns like, Darien, especially around here, like, I would even say, like, Marysburg. I know they're struggling to keep afloat, and there is federal aid, and you can try to get that, but, you know, that's hit or miss. It's just, that's the cost, and that's all it comes down to. Somebody's got to step in and do something about just the cost of everything to make it affordable for these fire departments to keep operating.
Yeah, absolutely. Fire departments are a necessity to the general welfare of the community. Absolutely.
Well, I could say welcome to August. I'll notice it'll be cooler for the days of course. I'm running the heat in my truck this morning. I always used to say as soon as the August and the fair rolls around and summer's over with, I already started to notice that it's been cooler in the morning.
Yeah, Karen and I have always noticed that right around Trav's birthday, which is August 17th, prospects when the weather starts to really change. I noticed it was cooler this morning. I had one of the windows open and I stood next to it and I could feel a cool breeze coming in. But I still put shorts on. I'm hoping that it warms up later.
Yeah, I still put a long sleeve. I have a sweatshirt at work I put on. I can't stand the AC. I don't know how many people can, but I'm not very, very open to AC. My wife freezes me out with it too. But can't handle it. I like my warmth. But all right, Brad, 73 time. Gonna focus some coffee, maybe keep me awake. So KD2GDQ, KC2PET. Talk to you tomorrow, Brad. You have a good day.
KD2PET, this is KD2GDQ. 73 to your Ross. Yeah, get a good strong cup of coffee in there. Stay awake. Have a good day. And we will talk to you tomorrow. And we are clear of this channel.